Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Chris Elogi. Say hi to the good people, Chris.
Hello.
Yeah, so this is a post-Christmas episode. It is December 27th, 2025, and if you're listening to this and you're thinking, something seems just a little bit off, like I can't quite put my finger on it, something seems a little weird, guess who's got two thumbs and came down with a really nasty case of the flu a couple days before Christmas? This freaking guy. And I'll get into all that later, because it was a bit of an ordeal, no joke. But other than that, what will we be discussing this week? Well, probably the really big story that's happened this week is that 60 Minutes had a segment that they had prepared that was a story about various individuals who had been sent to a CCOT in El Salvador that was set to go on the air, and then, like, I think literally, like, very, like, the day it was supposed to go on the air, the head of the network decided to step in and say, nope, we're pulling it. Then it showed up and it got leaked, and now it's become the Streisand effect thing again. We also got more of the Epstein files. And the funny thing about these is that they were redacted, but they were so poorly redacted that they could easily be unredacted with a little bit of WordPress trickery. And I have a theory about that, but we'll talk about that later. But other than that, we've also got the fact that, you know, we're may or may not be going to war with Venezuela. We still haven't seemed to make our mind up on that one yet. There was also a strike against ISIS in Nigeria. We got some stuff about the FDA. The official U.S. time actually managed to slow down, which I did not know was something that could happen, but it did. And, of course, we got a bunch of entertainment-related stuff, including the original versions of two legendary cartoon characters going into the public domain on January 1st. So that's also happening. We got that, and, of course, we got trailers and stuff like that, all that and more on this week's episode of Let's Weekend. So, doing as we always have done, starting off as a tradition, talking about all the things we've been doing up to this point this week. And it's also a tradition, we start with Chris. So, Chris, tell us, before I seem to, you know, descend back into puberty once again, what have you been doing this week?
Yeah, I've been working a lot this week.
Yeah.
Getting ready for the holidays and then getting back to work after that. Been doing a lot. But yeah, for the most part, all I really got was some money and some clothes. Nothing really too. Still trying to figure out what I might use any of it for. I'll probably put it towards getting a new PC built here in the new year. Now that I got some extra cash. But yeah, for things I've been doing, I watched the second part of Stranger Things season 5.
Yeah.
That came out on Christmas Day evening. And yeah, more good stuff. They, you know, revealed a lot of what has been going on. Some of which are things that are pretty obvious, and others are interesting wrinkles to things that you might have thought were going on, or what the state of things were. That makes for some pretty wild stuff. But yeah, for that, I'm excited for the last bit, the finale for next week, or this week, coming up. But yeah, there's that. And then I watched The One for the first time. Which I feel like if I knew what that soundtrack is, I would have watched this, you know, 20-some years ago when it came out.
Probably.
Because it is the most 2001 coded soundtrack I've ever heard.
Yep.
And very much it It feels like a movie that was made by people that were like, well, we got Jet Li and everybody likes The Matrix. What if we do something like that?
Yeah.
But without any real good world building or anything. Like the premise is just that Jet Li's character has figured out that killing his own self in other universes gives him added power, strength, smarts, all that. And I guess in this universe, every time a star dies and creates a black hole, a new universe is created. And this has resulted in 125 universes. He has killed 123 versions of himself. To which I love when they show many of them. So they go, how many wigs do we have for Jet Li to wear? Because there's some of like blonde wigs and dreads and all this kind of stuff. But it's also a movie that doesn't really care about explaining much of how this world works, this universe, how this whole thing works. Because it seems like they've cut up a bunch of this. There's a good bit that I guess due to 9/11 they cut out some stuff. Like a lot of movies. But yeah, they has some real good music stingers. Initially when Jet Li's character is sort of captured and is about to be sent to a prison colony in a certain universe. A rat is let loose that is a bomb also. And when they go to set it off, it goes into the ooh ah from the Disturbed Down with the Sickness song. It's like, oh, this is one of the best dumb music cues I've heard in a long time. And the first sequence you see of Jet Li killing the 123rd person version of himself is done to Drowning Pool's Let the Bodies Hit the Floor. And it's like there's two Drowning Pool songs, I think two Disturbed songs and two Papa Roach songs that show up. They have Last Resort, but they don't use the Cut My Life into Pieces part of it.
Also, I think Drowning Pool's in there too.
Yeah, I mentioned that.
Yeah.
Which got me.
Basically, they were like, yeah, so we're making this movie. We might it's 2001, we might as well fill it with the chunkiest butt rock we can get our hands on.
Yeah, and it's like all the sort of music I was listening to for nu metal stuff and all that, and like
Same.
that first album for Drowning Pool is a really well done album. It got me thinking like, where can I buy this that isn't Apple or Amazon? And found out it's on what is it Bandcamp. And it's just that album. It's not any of the others. I'm like, that's very weird. And I started looking into other music acts, like bigger music acts, and like Blink-182's Buddha album is on there because it's from a different album than the rest of their stuff. I was like, that's very weird. But they also had a message about that, being like about their label being essentially founded by a lawyer who had friends with another lawyer and all that. And it's like, yeah, this Bandcamp's very weird. You would think more big names would potentially be on this, but also the way that ownership of their own music works, a lot of them don't have access to it. But I found like a bunch of bands and like the Foo Fighters are on there, but for like one live album thing they put out, was the one that was the most surprising. It was like The Offspring is on there with like a lot of their music, so like any of the early stuff you would be most interested in, that's all on there. So like, all right, there's some interesting stuff here because I've been thinking about rebuying a bunch of my collection because I had CDs that I used in cars and such, and as a result, much of that is unusable now because it's all scratched up from any sort of little dings you get in cars, any bumps you hit a good CD like that, which is annoying. But yeah, back to the movie. Like, it's a real dumb movie because it's the very early parts of CG of this kind, and they did not have the budget that The Matrix had to make it look good. Because a lot of Jet Li's fights with other people is him like kicking them into the air as they kind of slowly float because he's moving faster than them. And bad looking CG a lot of the time. But, like, maybe one of the best ones is where he runs into, motorcycle cops and uses two motorcycles that he grabs like they're, folding chairs and slams them around one cop who doesn't really seem to be affected by it because, it's probably poorly done action scenes on some of these. But then the interesting thing is like there's an early Jason Statham in this and I forget the other Delroy something. He's in a bunch of movies as well. Jason Statham has this really weird accent. Like he's trying to do an American accent, but he cannot do one. I was like, there's no reason he couldn't be doing a British accent, his normal accent or anything. But yeah, they're part of this multiverse cop force that keeps taking Jet Li back to their base a couple times and he escapes. And like the transport, the way that they transport these people or teleport them looks like they're the most painful thing ever. Sort of like the general Star Trek premise that, teleportation is killing your form and rebuilding it somewhere else so that you're technically a different person. But if you could feel the pain of that the entire time, because they're like screaming as it's happening, and it's like this is a very weird thing for a movie to be doing. But yeah, it's a fun, dumb movie, but it doesn't really have anything going on that you're like, oh, this is an amazing movie, actually. Other than being like one of the first Jet Li movies that kind of made him a big deal over here. As he'd been mostly like a Chinese or Hong Kong action movie actor, much like Jackie Chan and many others before him. But he was sort of one of the most gifted of all of them. And so that was kind of one of the movies that put him on the map over here. It was also just like such a time capsule that was kind of hilarious every time the song came up. And I was like, oh God, it's this song? Okay. This is a thing that if I probably knew what that soundtrack was, I would have seen this, probably in the theaters. But yeah, that was a fun one to watch. As for games, I've been playing some Rocket League. The new season's going on, and they got their holiday events, Frosty Fest, going on. That's unfortunately tied with Harry Potter stuff. For like half the rewards are tied into like the different houses. And it's like I don't really care about any of that. I'm just trying to collect some of the other stuff because I got more regular winter themed items. So just kind of working my way through some of that. And enjoying that, and one of the challenges for using up 2,001 points of boost in a match, which is tougher than it sounds, because your boost has a max of 100, and so you're essentially expected to fully empty and refill that up 20 times for a match, which is tough when you're trying to play for real. So I ended up one of the things I did for this season is expanded the competitive to 4v4 versus just having 1v1. They also have 4v4 now, and I was like, that'll be the most logical way of doing it, where I'm able to kind of boost all over the arena while the others are playing a mostly legit match. And it ended up being the smart way of doing it. There's like one for getting at least like 394 points, which took some doing, but they made one of the casual modes, put it in the competitive modes, the playlist, the Heat Seeker, which is the one to do for that kind of stuff or anything where you need to get a bunch of shots and goals and saves, because it's got the ball that just bounces back and forth across the arena as you try and get them. And that stuff kind of makes it more feasible to rack up some of those stats still legitimately, but without having to do or hope for some luck in the regular matches. So there's that. I've been playing some American Truck Simulator as they have their holiday event going on, which centers around a new map called Winterland that they've had in the previous years. This is sort of this snow-covered map, going around these streets to one of five different locations that you drop off or pick up trailers at. Which is pretty cool. And the thing they've done this year is they've upgraded it a bit. So now that there are, for the first time, other cars on the streets. Before it was just basically lifeless. And now there are other vehicles, which is a bit weird still. Because these streets are covered in snow and not easy to control. So you sometimes, I was having vehicles piling up behind me, probably frustrated with me taking my time on some of this stuff. The other thing is they also have people on the streets as well. Before, the only place you would see humans, I believe, was on an ice skating rink that they had out in one of the parts of the map. But now seeing people hanging out in different parts of the city and some of these other areas, that kind of is a thing that adds some life to this map for that. So there's that, and alongside that, the Louisiana DLC came out, so now I have access to Louisiana, and they have an event tied around that as well. The holiday event ends first, I think on the 11th. So I'm still working my way through that. With the Louisiana event, I think ends in February. I still got time on that, but with the Winterland map, the nice thing is when you teleport over to that, it resets your gas and your stamina meters. So you don't need to sleep or refill your tank of gas for a bit longer, which is nice. The process of going through these portals and such also leads to not being able to get the minimum 100-mile distance for Louisiana jobs to count towards the total that you need there. So it's like a little bit of like these are two incompatible events, which is a little frustrating. Otherwise, I'll just keep delivering stuff. I did check the also the other thing in the Winterland map is there's Christmas music playing in different areas, which is nice. And I was hoping that there would be like a Christmas music radio station in the game, but I didn't see anything like that. But I did see that somebody added some police radio stations to the game. From two different cities in the US, I believe. And I listened to the one and I was like, yeah, that's random police radio chatter of nothing going on, really. But it's like, all right, that's neat. Figured out how to add some of that stuff to the game, so. But yeah, that's been pretty much what I've been doing. So how about you, Brandon?
Well, as for me, I ended up hitting out pretty good for Christmas this year 'cause amongst other things in my Christmas haul, I got a brand new Nintendo Switch 2 and I will explain the coughing in a little bit, and PSVR 2 as well. I have not gotten the PSVR 2 out yet. It is still in the box, but I have gotten the Nintendo Switch 2 out, and I've got it all hooked up. As everybody knows with that, there's like a It has like a function where you can, transfer all of your data from the Nintendo Switch up to the Nintendo Switch 2, which I went ahead and did. And it was a, relatively quick and simple and pretty mostly painless process. Just had to wait a little bit to get it all there, but once it was all done, all my stuff, it's all hooked up, it's all ready to go. It's just now I also have to wait for all that stuff to actually, fully load and install. And of course, because I got the bundle, it also came with, Mario Kart World as well, which I will be playing as, as soon as I get a chance. As for the PSVR 2, like I said, still have not gotten it out of the box yet, but I will be. I'm probably also going to get a PC adapter for it because I want to be able to go on like VR chat and stuff like that. And what I really want to do is I want a chance to play Half-Life Alyx. That's what I really want to do. And so that's one of the things I'm planning on doing there. But like as far as like actually gaming or anything this week, I never really didn't really get to do much because as I said at the top of the show, a couple days before Christmas, I contracted the flu. And I say I contracted the flu. The whole family did. Me, my mom, my dad. In fact, my dad's the one responsible for bringing it home. And here's the thing. When you're a kid and you get the flu, 9 times out of 10, it's like a day or two off from school. Your chicken noodle soup, Sprite, DayQuil, that kind of thing. When you get older, the flu takes a much bigger toll on you. So, obviously I had the sore throat, the coughing, as you can tell, the runny nose, the fever, all of that stuff, the chills. But I also had the muscle aches and probably worst of all, the really, really painful, awful joint pain. There were a couple days where it was so bad I felt like my knees were getting gnawed on by like a wildebeest or something. It was not pleasant. But yeah, it took it pretty much laid me flat out on my ass for like a few days, and I'm just now like really getting over it. I'm like I pretty much I you know like I'm I don't really have a sore throat anymore. I don't really have a I don't I haven't had a fever for a couple of days. I haven't had a runny nose. Because I got rid of that last night. And the muscle pain and joint pain is gone, but I still have the cough and my throat is still slightly constricted, which is why I seem to have this deep brassy note to my voice right now. Chris, do I sound vaguely like what it sounded like after I had had COVID years ago?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It wasn't COVID, by the way. It was 100% just the regular flu. But yeah, we essentially it left us all house ridden for most of Christmas week, so which sucks. But what are you gonna do? You gotta let the virus get through you before you can move on with life. But anyway, with that, that's basically what I've been doing. So Chris, is there anything you want to do you want to mention before we move on? All right. Well, in that case, we're going to give me just a second, and hopefully I don't, go into spasmodic coughing again while I try to describe this. But we're going into everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's random factoid, and I actually found something that I was like, okay, this is definitely something I can use for this part of the show because this is a figure I found only very, like, literally. Like Sunday of last week that I found, and this figure, this character, this guy, he was a real person. He was a he lived during the 17th and 18th century. He was born in the late 17th century. He died in the middle of the 18th in the middle of the 18th century in like 1740. He was a German gentleman who became a huge celebrity during his lifetime, and he was a man of many talents. And I'm going to describe to him, what he was known for and what his talents were. And that's all well and good, and you're probably going to be at the end is like, okay, that's like impressive or anything. That's obviously kind of neat. And then I'm going to take it and I'm going to make it like wow. Not only did I not know this, I can't believe I never heard of this guy before. 'Cause what this guy could do and how he managed to accomplish what he did is going to blow your mind. His name was Matthias Bunkinger, or Matthew Buckinger, as he was sometimes said in English. He was a German gentleman who was born in 1674, and he was a by trade a very popular and famous artist. He was specifically his specialization was engravings. And for those of you who don't know what like an engraving is in like an artistic sense, basically it's when you take a hard flat surface and then you cut grooves into it with a borin, which is a type of steel cutting tool, to form a picture. If you've ever looked at like a bunch of like really old manuscripts from like say the 1400s over and over that are like printed out, those are engravings because they're essentially used as like designs for printmaking. Now, he was a particularly impressive one, but that wasn't the only thing he was good at. See, on top of being a really good artist, he was also a heavily talented calligrapher. And in particular, he was able to take this talent and he was able to transfer it into something called micrography, which is where you make a picture out of really, really tiny text. And I'll show you an example of that in a bit. But like I said, also, not the only thing he also was good at. He was also a bit of a magician. He could do like card tricks. He could do things like disappearing ball and cup tricks. And he could like produce like pigeons and stuff out of like hats and boxes. He was a really good card player. He had an incredibly good marksmanship. He was a good shot. And he could play about half a dozen musical instruments, including the dulcimer, the hautboy, the trumpet, the flute, and a bunch of other instruments he himself invented. And this is where, and I'm like, okay, so I've told you all that, and you're thinking, okay, that sounds impressive, right? He was a dude, he was an artist, he had many talents. Apparently, he was a bit of a social savant. People knew who he was, he was cool, that's all cool. So what's the big deal, right? Well, I'm gonna put this in the chat, this picture. And this is an actual self-portrait that he did of himself in, let me see, I want to see when this was. I think it was in sometime around 1712, I think it was, that he made of himself. And this is gonna take everything I just told you, and it's gonna make it sound absolutely freaking insane. All right, here we go. At a self-portrait of Mr. Michael Buckinger and why he's such an impressive man. All right, do you see that, Chris?
Yeah.
Do you see what makes all of this all the more impressive now?
Yeah.
Because Mr. Buckinger, also known as the Little German, was born with focomelia, meaning that he was born without either hands or legs. He had no legs to speak of. He had pretty much, he had like nothing. He had no knees. He had no thighs. He had no hands. The only like really thing he had for limbs were these like small fin-like appendages. And because of this, the fact that he became just this incredibly well-known artist and performer in his lifetime is in and of itself incredible. Especially when you remember like all the stuff I told you that he did. Because like I said, he wasn't just an artist. He was also a magician. He was a calligrapher. He was a musician who played like a bunch of instruments. And the thing is, if you're thinking like, how did he manage to do all of this if he only had, like, these itty-bitty little fins as arms? Well, remember how I mentioned earlier that he said that he created a bunch of musical instruments of his own invention? Well, part of that was also that he created a bunch of little contraptions that he would help him get through the day and to let him do all this stuff. So he did stuff like he built a set of a woman of like a wooden fake arms that he would attach to his to his fins that he could use to help him like carry a brush or do fingering on like a flute which wasn't the only thing he did. He could also do all this stuff with like his mouth too, because Like a lot of individuals who are born with his condition, he became very proficient at essentially using his mouth and teeth as like a pair of limbs. He, and the fact that not just that he was able to do this without arms and legs is in itself impressive. It's the quality of his work that makes it really impressive. So, like, for example, that portrait that I just posted, here's a close up of the hair. And if you look closely, you'll notice it's not just like regular scribbles, it's like actual legible words. Because this is actually like a couple of the Psalms and the Lord's Prayer that he actually used to write out the patterns on his hair. That's the kind of like crazy attention to detail and like discipline that even a lot of regular artists with all four limbs can't accomplish. So the fact that he was able to do that, even though he was basically, a human potato, is mind-boggling in how he was able to pull all of this off. Now, here's the other neat thing. You're thinking, okay, so this guy was a big celebrity. He was an artist. Obviously, he had disability that he was able to overcome. So, what was he like in every day? Well, like I said, he was a big celebrity. He was very well known during his time. They called him the little man from Nuremberg, the greatest German living. He traveled all over Northern Europe to entertain kings and aristocrats and regular people on the street. He his by and here's the funny part. You're thinking, okay, so this guy was a big celebrity. Did he ever have a family? He was married three times and he fathered about 11 children. And it's believed that he had about 70 different mistresses. In fact, by the 1780s, his fame was so widespread that in England, the term "buckinger's boot" had existed in England as a euphemism for the female vagina, because again, Buckinger had only one limb on his body and it wasn't a foot. But eventually, Buckinger died at the age of 65 in Cork, Ireland, where I believe he's still buried. He was a big deal in his lifetime. He's still somewhat fondly remembered over in Europe, although a lot of people eventually, his fame did kind of go by the wayside. But he's still heavily like remembered in like for example in a lot of the performing arts world, especially people who are involved in like circus performances. Magicians in particular are very and illusionists remember him very fondly because he helped to develop a lot of illusions that became very common in the magician's repertoire. And occasionally his artwork will show up on major television programs. One of his pieces showed up on a famous BBC television program that was about auctioning off famous artwork. It ended up getting sold at Chiswick Auctions for about 600, so like £600 or something. So yeah, that was Matthias Buckinger, probably one of the coolest human beings in the world who ever lived. Sadly, his fame kind of passed by the wayside, but damn, did he leave just a hell of a story behind him. And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid. With that out of the way, it's now time to move on to the show proper. And as always, with the show proper, we have to start off with our assholes of the week. And our first asshole of the week is Barry Weiss, who made the really stupid decision on the day that it was supposed to air to have a 60-minute segment about the Cecot prison pulled shortly before it was supposed to air because she said it, quote, didn't contain the Trump administration side of the story.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that if she just left it alone, it would have aired, gotten some attention and then moved on. But instead, she had this whole situation that she created, claiming that it is partly like other outlets had already covered Cecot, which is like, I guess to a degree, but not in this sort of visual style that 60 Minutes does. And yeah, kind of doing something to help out, you know, her rich benefactors and the Trump administration that she was trying to appease, generally with a lot of her work. As you've probably seen from some of the town hall discussions she tries to have lately that nobody cares about. So yeah, this one, yeah, we'll talk about the next part of this, but yeah, the whole thing kind of ended up coming out anyway by her insistence on doing more work on it.
Yeah, but like we said, basically the thing ended up getting leaked on YouTube, and then the app for their Canadian partner, and then it got pulled, and then the internet just kind of spread it from there.
Yeah, multiple people got versions of it. One was like a phone recording of their TV screen. Another one was a direct feed that ended up becoming the main one that people grabbed. And yeah, you got to watch it. And yeah, it's interesting story about what these Venezuelans that were part of the whole group that was sent down there. Despite most of them not having any sort of criminal record. And the ones that, you know, they claimed had criminal records that were, you know, so bad were mostly like immigration related charges or whatever that was being worked on, but nothing really really pushed through just yet. So there's a lot of these innocent guys who went to a really awful place and they talked about the notion of there was no real doctors there. They're just told to use the water that was also, you know, showers and toilets and all that. So they were treated like not even slaves, just the worst of the worst kind of, which is what, you know, the prison was intended for. But yeah, it's one of those things. It's like, yeah, this is as awful as we could have. Lots of beatings, abuse. Positions that are very painful to maintain after a certain amount of time. Lights being on constantly 24/7, that makes it tough for any of them to get sleep or peace or anything. And yeah, it just makes Barry Weiss look as dumb and poor of a leader as she is. Many people got to watch it as they wanted to, and yeah, ended up not working. Emails and such leaked that have her talking about this stuff, and yeah, she seems mostly like a condescending asshole.
Yeah. So yeah, that happened. And then we have another major assholes of the week, which is the Department of Justice and all those involved in the Epstein files, because a bunch of them were leaked again this week, and they were all redacted, extremely redacted, but the redaction was so poor that a handful of them could actually be effectively unredacted with a little bit of WordPress trickery. Part of me thinks that this is out of sheer incompetence. The other part of me thinks this might have also been completely intentional, because at least somebody over there is like, I'm not going to jail for these assholes.
Yeah, I don't know. That's
Me neither. I want to think the latter, but the former is probably the truth.
yeah, because these people are so incompetent most of the
Yeah.
time that is just the simplest explanation for any of this. Yeah, basically, like, you know, one of the people on social media, Ed Krasenstein, talking about you won't believe how I unredacted these redactions. I simply highlighted text, copied, and asked, you know, how many other files are not really redacted. And yeah, it did work on everything, but it was a pretty common thing that they could do for many of these. And yeah, there's other phone things that can be used to deal with this. And yeah, there's a bunch of a whole thing where it's not a super complicated thing to redact these kind of files. All that efficiently, but these people are trying to get through, a bunch of files quickly without probably the amount of people they would need to actually do it properly. And they may not even have great experience with the software for this stuff, and yeah, just leads to this kind of issues that has allowed a lot of people see what's being hidden here for a lot of this information, which hasn't been a ton of interesting stuff,
No.
but I'm sure people are still working through this because this is like tens of thousands of files with each drop, so.
And in case you're really wondering at this point, like if there's like even a shadow of doubt left, no, there isn't. There is none. He absolutely did it. And it's probably worse than you imagine it is right now. Oh yeah, and as for the D Department of Justice themselves, they said they'll, quote, need a few more weeks to finish releasing the files.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, big
Supposed
freaking
to be
deal.
released on time. There are a number of senators wanting to investigate why they weren't ready for this, and I'm sure there's plenty of evidence to show that they, broke the law they, agreed to. Trump signed this and all in the past week or so about it. Claiming it's a Democrat hoax. No, this is not how this works. But yeah, this we'll see how long it takes for them to get this all out. So we'll see.
And then, as I was saying, our last big assholes for this story. I think I'm not sure if we talked about this story in a previous show. We might have, but basically, long story short is in Oklahoma, there was this girl who was taking this. I think it was a was it it was a class in, I can't remember, was it psychiatry or psychology, one of those two. Yeah,
Psychology.
psychology, yeah. And they were given an assignment about reading a thought-provoking article, and then they were told to write an essay of their personal opinions on it, and citing things like citations, all that stuff, what you expect for a college-level essay. This girl did none of that. She basically just rattled off a bunch of random bull crap, tried to somehow vaguely tie it to scripture, and she ended up getting a zero because it's college and you're not in high school anymore, kid. So she ended up stirring up a bunch of crap. She's now getting all that grifter money, and the teaching assistant who had given her the zero has officially been let go.
Well, the trans teaching assistant,
Yeah, that's
the
the
one
important.
that's cis, surprisingly not being touched at all
Yeah.
for what you might expect out of this. So yeah, she was given a failing grade on her psychology paper in which she cited the Bible and argued that promoting a belief in multiple genders was demonic and sort of appealed to the school and her mom especially is a well-known lawyer. I forget what the mom's known for, but it's something I saw. Well, this is who her mom is, and you expect that would trickle down to the kid to be kind of a shit like this. So yeah, so they put the teaching assistant on paid leave or whatever for the duration of their investigation and all that, and claimed that they found the graduate teaching assistant had been arbitrary in giving the junior 0 points on the assignment. The university declined to comment beyond its statement, which said the instructor will no longer have instructional duties. Yeah, the lawyer for the instructor denied that she engaged in any arbitrary behavior regarding the student's work. They're considering all of her legal remedies for this, but yeah, this became sort of a big deal on the far right, as they're, especially when they found out that the one of the teaching assistants was trans. as part of this. Yeah, she appealed her grade on the assignment and essentially got the university to remove the grade. It's supposed to be worth 3% of her final grade in the class, but now will not. Yeah, they placed the teaching assistant on leave, and their governor, Kevin Stitt, declared the situation deeply concerning. So yeah, fun not to see. And yeah, more of a sign that, college is going to get very, very stupid, as you'll get these people that will essentially just be opportunists and take any opportunity that they can to report teachers or anything they see that is, quote unquote, sketchy, or any of this, and get them in trouble, fired, whatever.
Yeah, apparently this girl's mother is like a notorious shit stirrer, in her own community. So I would not be entirely surprised if this whole thing was manufactured from the very beginning.
Yeah, her mom is Christy Fulmecki. She served, she was on the Springfield City Council, I assume in Oklahoma, on a 3-year stint that was full of controversy there. So yeah, this is certainly a whole thing. We'll see if there's any more information on the mom, but yeah, she's supposedly a well-known, let's say, Mega Karen. Yeah, I'm curious to see if there's more about her. But yeah, this is a fun time to see this kind of shit. That's it. There you go.
So yeah, that is the assholes of the week. But fortunately, it's not all terrible because we do have one random hero of the week to talk about because one mad bastard in Arkansas managed to land the $1.817 billion Powerball jackpot this week.
Yeah, that's a good Christmas present there.
Oh yeah.
Because that was on Christmas Eve. So, best of luck to them. Been going for 3 months without a top prize win. Best of luck. Let's see. Cabot, Arkansas. So, yeah. We'll see. Best of luck to them. Keeping the money hounds at bay.
And I would basically recommend to put that money somewhere and tell nobody that you've got it. Don't go on any crazy spending sprees, just act like everything is normal, 'cause the vultures will start circling and they can smell blood. But yeah, so with that, it's now time to move on to the from the show proper to the proper show proper. And our first story for the night has to do with the announcement that President Trump launched a strike against ISIS in Nigeria for targeting Christians.
Was a weird bit of news. I guess they've been having trouble with ISIS, which they posted this on Christmas evening, without really any details what sort of damage it caused. And there were sort of citizens in Nigeria talking about hearing the whatever missiles were shot over them, and that would change the sky to red for a bit. And it's like, yeah, that's not great. And continually, firing weapons into foreign countries on the claims that, there's bad guys in this area. He's not been one to shy away from that stuff. But yeah, we'll have to see if there's further question about what the result of this was. But yeah, that's kind of really all we've got, right? Especially because the administration only seems to care if it's Christians getting attacked. Plenty of them out there. If you find any sort of violence, chances are there's a bunch of Christians as victims, so they can sort of butt in on any of the stuff as they want. So.
So that happened. Also announced that the Navy, because it will be building new, bigger battleships because he's 12, I guess.
Yeah, he wants to create this thing he's calling the Golden. They'll be the fastest, the biggest, and by far 100 times more powerful than any battleship ever built, which we kind of stopped building them after World War II because they served no real purpose after that. This is the first of which will be named the USS Defiant. It'll be longer and larger than the World War II era Iowa-class battleships. We'll be armed with hypersonic missiles, nuclear cruise missiles, railguns, and high-powered lasers, all technologies that are in various stages of development by the Navy. Yeah, this also comes a month after the Navy scrapped its plans to build a new small warship, citing delays and cost overruns, deciding instead to go with a modified version of a Coast Guard cutter as being produced until recently. They also failed to build its other newly designed ships, like the new Ford-class aircraft carrier and Columbia-class submarines, on time and on budget. So yeah, that's gonna be more money wasted.
Yep. So we got more of that crap happening. And now we got this really funny story. The Heritage Foundation, which is this notorious conservative think tank that's been around for a good 30, 40 years now, is now slowly disintegrating because a bunch of their staff are now jumping ship and going over to join Mike Pence's newer organization. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that their current leader essentially sort of sidewinderly kind of endorsed Nick Fuentes.
Yeah. I don't know if they're disappearing or anything. They've lost about a dozen or so people.
Yeah, but it's like people that have been with them for like a long time.
Yeah, but also they'll find more people.
Oh, of course they will.
And yeah, this is kind of part of a growing weird descent in the MAGA ranks. People that recognize the Nazi issues that they have and are finally realizing, like, maybe we shouldn't be a part of this. Great that it's happening. Shame that it took them 10 years to figure this out. Pence's think tank, Advancing American Freedom, AAF, announced that they had hired these people on Monday. Then they include leaders from the Heritage Foundation's legal, economic, and data teams. Yeah, so they've raised $13 million towards a $15 million goal in 2 weeks to help fund their salaries over the next 3 years. It expands their size from around 18 employees to more than 30. So yeah, it's gonna help bolster their research team to fill in gaps in the modern conservative movements, because research is not what conservatives like to do. They like to make up their evidence and information.
Yeah, largely just to create a new a new culture war trend.
So yeah, that's what's going on.
Yeah. So yeah, that's happening there. And then we got news from the Food and Drug Administration that they recently approved a pill version of the Wegovy weight loss drug.
Yeah, which is good because the current version is an injection thing, which there's plenty of people that would like to not have to do that.
Yeah, seriously.
This will be a daily oral medication. Yeah, kind of gives them an edge over Eli Lilly, who has another pill under review. Probably will get approved sometime in the near future, but they're both GLP-1 drugs that work like widely used injectables, mimic a natural hormone that controls appetite and feelings of fullness. Yeah, that's good news. And it seems they say the Wegovy pills are expected to be available within weeks. Availability of oral pills to treat obesity could expand the booming market for obesity treatment by broadening access and reducing costs. And yeah, saying 1 in 8 Americans have used injectable GLP-1 drugs, some of which are celebrities and other rich people that could afford the cost out of prescription or any of that. But yeah, that's the whole thing here. So yeah, looks good. Hopefully that becomes widely available. So.
Hopefully, yeah. And now for just one of the weirdest things you're gonna hear. There was this like really nasty windstorm that hit in Colorado, And it was so bad that the official US time actually slowed down by 4.8 microseconds.
Yeah, this was an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because official standard time of the U.S. is kept by around 10 to 15 atomic clocks at the NIST laboratories in Boulder, Colorado. It's an important job, so the agency has backup generators in case the local grid fails due to, say, an unfortunate weather incident. But there wasn't a backup generator for the backup generator when last Wednesday a powerful windstorm knocked the power out in Boulder. The atomic clocks did have a battery backup system that kept them going for a while, but the atomic ensemble timescale failed due to a disconnect between some of the clocks and NIST's measurement system, according to a community email. One impact is that the Boulder Internet Time Services no longer have an accurate time reference.
Yeah.
As a result, the U.S. official time slowed by around 4.8 microseconds, a time frame that is both big and small at the same time. NIST, short for National Institute of Standards and Technologies, officially became America's timekeeper in 2007 through the America Competes Act. Part of the Department of Commerce, NIST collaborates with the U.S. Navy to determine the precise time in the U.S. More informally, NIST and its predecessor, the National Bureau of Standards, had been managing the official time reference for industries like stock exchanges and the electrical power sector since at least the 1960s. And today's NIST's standard time serves as a reference point for things like telecommunications, GPS signals. The atomic clock ensemble is a mix of hydrogen masers and cesium beam clocks, which produce a weighted average of physical signals that NIST researchers use to keep time. And so, yeah, the level of precision for atomic time is quite literally on the atomic scale. For context, the international standard for 1 second corresponds to the duration of 9,192,631,770 periods of the radiation corresponding to the transition between two hyperfine levels of the ground state of the cesium-133 atom. What this means, the slightest dissonance in the ensemble can cascade into serious errors. To be fair, the 4.8 microsecond drift will be far too small for the general public to notice, but clarified it, given a high-end user's access to other timekeeping networks to minimize disruptions from the Colorado power outage. And so, yeah, this is a thing that could affect systems, but I'm sure they're going to work on correcting that. But yeah, if you don't know, our standards for time, weights, distance, and all that are based on real things that get measured. And so you can look up this stuff. Like the UK literally has like a vault with specific items that measure specific distances and such that they can always reference whenever they need to. And you can go look at, like, if you go get gas, you'll notice that there's a usually a sticker on each of the pumps that mentions when it was last inspected by, you know, your local standards agency. That kind of stuff, you know, companies that use weights for or scales for measuring food they're producing and all this kind of stuff gets checked every so often, like usually like once a year and all that. It's a really interesting topic to like look up how this stuff works.
Oh, yeah.
Because like, you know, back in the day, you know, an acre was like, you know, the amount of time or the amount of space a, you know, an oxen could plow in one day kind of thing. And a lot of those kind of like wives' tales kind of descriptions for how we know what those distances were. And since then, we've replaced that stuff with actual, you know, science or math or whatever to explain the precise distance that these things work in. So yeah, it's really interesting there. So yeah, there you go.
But with that, we're now moving on to the entertainment portion of the show. And our first big entertainment story is actually kind of a neat one. The original versions of Betty Boop and Pluto are going to be going to the public domain on New Year's Day, so that's January 1st. And if you're wondering, wait, like the original versions, what do you mean? Fun fact, Betty Boop was originally a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
Instead
right.
of the like hoop earrings that she has now, that she had like dog ears.
Yeah. It had like a dog snout, and it was a little uncanny valley even back then, which is why
Yeah.
they eventually decided to give her a more human appearance.
Yeah. So yeah, with the new year starting, there's gonna be a new round of various sorts of IPs and books and such that are gonna be going to the public domain. Yeah, the original Betty Boop is one of them, and the initial version of Disney's Pluto, who first went by the name Rover. And yeah, I believe there's already a horror movie involving Betty Boop that is in the works for next year.
'Cause why not? I don't know why that sort of became like a I want to say a trend, but it's in all honesty, it's not really a trend. It's just a really cynical cash grab.
Yeah, and it's trying to find an angle that nobody has done before.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff. There's also books involving this, like William Faulkner's As I Lay Dying, full version of
Yeah.
Dashiell Hammett's The Maltese Falcon, Roddy Piper's The Little Engine That Could,
Yep.
the first four books of the Nancy Drew detective series, and the Murder at the Vicarage, Agatha Christie's first Miss Marple's mystery.
Yep.
The movie selection includes, yeah, a bunch of war stories, musicals, thrillers, westerns, comedies, and more. Yeah, Alfred Hitchcock has stuff on here. Howard Hughes, Salvador Dali, All Quiet on the Western Front, Animal Crackers starring the Marx Brothers, which is a really funny movie if you
Oh
haven't seen
yeah.
it.
That one's a classic.
1931 Best Picture winner Cimarron, two Marlene Dietrich films, Morocco and The Blue Angel. Yeah, Bing Crosby's first feature film appearance in King of Jazz is in this. Greta Garbo's first talkie, Anna Christie in The Big Trail. John Wayne's first leading role is in here. Yeah. And the films on this year's list all predate the Hays Code, a set of self-imposed studio guidelines that ban subjects from profanity, violence, and nudity to interracial rate relationships and lustful kissing in movies from 1934 to 1968. So if you wonder why there was not much sexy stuff going on in movies for a while there
That's
until
the
like the
reason.
70s, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Musical compositions include Georgia on My Mind, Dream a Little, Dream of
Yep.
Me, four songs by Ira and George Gershwin, I Got Rhythm, I've Got a Crush on You, But Not for Me, and Embraceable You. On the artworks are Piet Mondrian's composition with Red, Blue, and Yellow, and Jules Rimet Cup by Abel Lafleur. And the original trophy of the FIFA World Cup from 1930 to 1970, that design will be in the d public domain.
Yeah.
They have a bunch of stuff here. So keep an eye on the Internet Archive. They usually highlight this stuff as they go up. Yeah, you can go up and download it and have it in your collection. There's a bunch of Disney that are pretty neat to see.
And then we move on to this. Larry Ellison has officially pledged an irrevocable personal guarantee of $40.4 billion towards a Warner Brothers Discovery deal.
Yeah, they're pulling out all the stops, I guess.
Desperately.
I think that would lessen the amount of Saudi money that's in this. But I still don't think it's going to change anything. Yeah, they say here Warner Brothers Discovery's board of directors issued a statement virtually identical to the December 8th one, where it advised against the deal. So yeah, probably won't change anything here. But yeah, they're throwing that kind of money around. You know, they really want something to happen. That should be all the more reason why it shouldn't happen.
And then we got a teaser trailer for Avengers Doomsday that, amongst other things, reveals that Chris Evans is in fact returning as Captain America.
Yeah, I don't know how this is gonna work, considering he goes back to the past, his love interest, all that. But yeah, they show him as really not really an interesting teaser because it's just him holding his kid, and then gets the can do something that really says nothing about what's going on. Shows that Marvel is trying to backtrack on anything they were planning for the Doomsday movie, because the whole Kang thing fell apart once the actor got accused of sexual assault and whatnot. And then, letting different roles retire, with Iron Man going away, Captain America changing hands, and that kind of stuff. Now they're going back on it. What the hell this is going on? So
And we also found out that The Smashing Machine will be appearing on HBO Max on January 23rd.
if you want to see the big Dwayne Johnson MMA movie, that's supposed to be pretty good, but just didn't really do well in the box office. Yeah, they had box office opening of $5.9 million. So yeah, but seems like a really interesting movie, so I'm gonna have to check that one. There you go.
So, and last but not least, we got an official trailer for Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey. And it looks really neat.
Yeah, and also bringing up a lot of questions about actual representation of what Greeks looked like back then.
Yeah. Which, first of all, remember, it's the Odyssey is Greek mythology. And specifically, it's part of the Homeric tradition. Fun fact, by the way, Homer probably never actually existed. It's generally a lot of, it's been sort of the scholarly consensus for a while now that it was just sort of a placeholder name that eventually sort of generated around a sort of this sort of mythological idea of this blind traveling poet who ended up creating what would become, the Iliad and the Odyssey. But also, yeah, this would have been like both of these stories, even though they use like classical Greek mythological figures, the time period when it all happened would have been the much earlier than that. A sort of I forget what the proper term is. I think somebody used to call them like a beta version of ancient Greece. But basically, it was a while before the ancient Greece as we imagine it.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's probably gonna be a good movie.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, like Greeks then didn't look
No.
Anne Hathaway and Robert Pattinson. There's a reason why there's a lot of Italians and such that are bronze skinned and all that, and they were probably potentially even darker than darker skinned because they didn't have as much of anything like sunscreen or anything to keep anything like that, and less of the British Empire than anything like that. It was the would it be the Roman Empire, or is that
Roman Empire would not exist for a while.
okay?
Yeah, Roman Empire, like by the time the Roman Empire came about, like all of the like old like Greek empires, like the Athenians and the Spartans and all of them, they still technically existed, but they had long since like, let me put it this way, the Romans were the ones who eventually conquered Greece. Let me put it that way. And then ended up sort of absorbing their culture into their own.
So yeah, this is like quite a while ago. So yeah, one
Mm
of those
yeah.
things to one of those odd things about making a movie like this.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Yeah.
that's out next summer, July 17th. So got a ways to go.
Yeah. So with that, I do believe we have got ourselves a show, folks. Yes, we do. We've got ourselves a show, and I somehow have managed to get it so I'm not coughing constantly. So, woohoo. Anyway, we're going to remind everybody who's listening, if you got a question, comment, or something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for it in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, RSS, or basically any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not on there, just give it a few minutes. We'll be on there eventually. But yeah, we're gonna go ahead and wind it down here. Thank you, Chris, once again for joining me on this little endeavor. And all of you out there listening, if you're a new listener or someone who's been with us since the very first show, if you like what you hear, please do not hesitate to share us with your friends, your family, your casual acquaintances, your mortal enemies, or anyone in between, because they may hate you, but there's a good 50-50 chance they'll end up liking us, and that sounds like something that'll benefit everybody, I think. I'm still in the midst of getting over the flu, and I'm not exactly thinking straight either. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and end it here. Hopefully, by the next time you hear me on this show, my vocal cords were completely healed, and I'll sound like a normal person again. But until then, good night. I'm thinking, in fact, I'm going to check and see. Yeah, we will be in 2026 the next time you hear us. So, have a happy and safe new year, and we'll see you all next year. Good night, everybody.